We shall turn again to the part of God's word that we read together in Psalm 23. Psalm 23 and verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Here's a psalm that millions have found comfort in. David's views of the Lord and his grace were written long ago, and the principles that comforted God's people were embraced and made use of long before David lived. And they will continue to uphold and refresh God's people till the end of time. And they will be singing until the last day, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord will still lead his people by the still waters and lead them into green pastures. The Lord's people will find peace in their shepherd. David was a shepherd before he wrote this psalm, or at least I should say before he became king in Israel. And how fit he was to write about the Lord being the shepherd of his people. From his own experience, he knew that a good shepherd would do all necessary for the care of his people, for his sheep. And so the Lord will do for his people what a shepherd would do for his sheep, caring for them, providing for them, feeding them. And in verse 5, David changes the figure of pastures to the figure of a table. To the imagery of anointing and a cup overflowing. And of course, as one has pointed out, you can hardly notice the change in the symbolism or the imagery because how natural it is that as God cares for his people compared to a shepherd caring for his sheep, so as a shepherd feeds the sheep, God feeds his people at a table that he himself has prepared for them. In other words, the shepherd will ensure that the sheep are fed. And here is a table in the howling wilderness, and that is a table that God has prepared for his people. Here is a scene of people being entertained at a feast. And what a feast God has prepared for his own dear people. All their needs are met. All their wants are more than satisfied. And that table is not only presented to them and offered to them in the gospel, but is actually enjoyed by them in the experience of their souls as they look out of themselves to Jesus Christ and receive him as bread for their souls. And in the Lord's Supper, believers find a table prepared for them. It's a table that is even in the presence of their enemies, a table in the wilderness of this world. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And the Lord Jesus is calling his people to come to this table. He's calling them to partake of that provision that he himself has prepared. And they should come to his table saying, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." With the Lord's help this morning, we will consider first of all this provision, the provision laid up for God's people. In the second place, we will consider the gladness that he has prepared for them. Thou anointest my head with oil. This anointing is a symbol of joy. And in the third place, the abundance that has been prepared for them. My cup runneth over. The benefits of salvation are filled up to the brim and even flowing forth outside, coming into poor souls like ourselves, into the hearts of sinners. And such is the wonder of the gospel that reveals to us this grace. The wonder of the gospel is partly this, that what God's people enjoy this present moment is offered to sinners as such, whoever hears the gospel. Those saving benefits that God's people enjoy now are offered to you freely today. Whatever is your past, whatever is your state now, God in the gospel offers you salvation, full and free, with all the blessedness of it, with all the love bound up in it. All that mercy and grace and love revealed in Christ is offered to you this moment. Oh, friend, receive that offer. Trust in Christ for the salvation of your souls. That's the message of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And may power go forth with the gospel call and enable sinners like you to receive Christ and rest on him for the salvation of your soul. We have, first of all, the provision for God's people, the gladness that is in store for them, and the abundance that he has prepared for them. Let us pray that each one of us would be among the sheep of Christ, and that God would give us the anointing of the Spirit, that we would call him our Savior, that we would call God our Father in Christ. The provision, the gladness, and the abundance. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's the provision. And the shepherd who knows his sheep knows that they need to be nourished. He knows all their needs. He knows that they need to be refreshed. So David says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He knows their need of solace. And so he leads them beside the still waters to comfort them. He knows their need of protection so that they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil because the shepherd is with them. He restores their souls and causes them to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he prepares for them a table. The Lord knows the needs of his people, and he has prepared for every one of their needs. And even in the midst of their enemies, they can say with David, I shall not want, I shall not lack any good thing. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. A table, of course, is a symbol of provision, of food. Bread is set on the table. People come to a table where food is placed, and there they have their meal. Well, the table is a symbol in the Word of God of God providing for his people, God meeting their needs as they are, just as suits their condition. Of course, believers may doubt, and that is their weakness. They may be tempted by unbelief and Satan. And we read of some who profess to be God's people, and perhaps even those who had true grace in their souls were tempted to doubt. As we read in Psalm 78, verse 19, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Is God able to do this? Can God meet your needs as they are in the wilderness of this world? When you're surrounded by enemies, when Satan is taunting you, when the world is laughing at you, can God provide a table for you in the wilderness? The answer is yes. Unbelief will say no. Satan will say, you don't deserve that. But God provides a table in the wilderness for his people. And it is a wilderness. It's a spiritual wilderness, a place, a wilderness is a place that yields very little supply of a person's needs. In fact, the wilderness of this world can not supply any of the spiritual needs of God's people. And yet, the Lord in his mercy provides a table. And without that table provided, how could God's people survive? But God provides a table in the wilderness for his people, just as he provided the manna from heaven for the Israelites in the desert as they traveled from Egypt to the promised land. There in that desert, God caused bread to be provided for his people. And so David here is saying, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou and no other. I'm in a wilderness spiritually. The world cannot meet my needs. Only God can provide for me. Only God can meet my spiritual needs and meet them just as they are. Thou providest a table before me. It is the Lord who is my shepherd, and the shepherd alone knows the needs of his sheep and can provide for them, giving them just what they need, a table, a table, a table before me. Thou preparest a table before me." And literally, it is in the face of me. Thou preparest a table in my face, in front of me, before me. It is so near. It appears to me. God is showing me this table. I see it because God is revealing it to me. Oh, friends, that you would see this table, that you would see that God is good and gracious. Taste and see that God is good, who trusts in him is blessed. Oh, that your eyes would be open to see this table before you. How often we go drooping because our eyes are closed. And we're not singing with joy because our eyes are shut. If our eyes were opened, our mouths would be open and singing for joy. But we have so little blessing that we experience in our souls because we're not seeing it as we should. Thou preparest a table before me. I see it. It's there. I can see it clearly. It's laden with dainties and it's laden with good things to satisfy my soul. It is in front of me. It's before me. I see it. It's in my face. Oh, I desire it. Thou preparest a table before me. God presents it to us, and he is saying, "Eat. Eat, O friends. Come and enjoy this provision I have prepared for you in the presence of mine enemies." It's in front of me. I see it. And in one way, it's in front of the enemies, and they see it too. They can't see it in all the clarity that I do. They can't see it with the desire that I have. But they know that I'm enjoying something that the world knows nothing of. They don't know it as to enjoy it, but they see that I'm satisfied by it. And this is a table that is prepared for me in the presence of mine enemies, in front of them, literally. It's before them. It's before me. It's two different words in the Hebrew. One is in the face of me, and the other is before them, in front of them. So this table is in front of me, before me, but it's also in front of them. It's before them, and they're seeing me enjoy a feast. Well, David had his enemies. He had enemies before he became king, as Saul and Doeg the Edomite. He had enemies after he became king, as his own son revolted against him, and Shimei that was cursing him, and perhaps the enemies that he's thinking of right here are the enemies of Edomites, Moabites, Philistines, and all the enemies he had to subdue in order to have peace in his kingdom. And David prospered. And there he is in his palace, in the walls of Jerusalem around him, and he has peace. But the enemies are still there. They don't like that David has brought them into subjection. But David has been anointed king, and he is now reigning in Jerusalem. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Yes, David acknowledges that God was looking after him all along, and all of his enemies had to realize that God had made David king. God had provided for David. He had helped him despite all the enemies and what they tried to do to stop him. Well, nothing could stop God from providing a table for David, even in the presence of his enemies. And God's people have enemies. And they wouldn't be God's people if they didn't have enemies. If they are God's people, then the world hates them. The world is an enemy. Yes, we're to pray for the world, pray for our enemies. But the world is the enemy of God's people, just as it's the enemy of God himself. The Lord Jesus says, if the world hate you, marvel not, because the world hated me before it hated you. But God prepares a table for his people in the presence of their enemies. We considered recently in Revelation chapter 12 that after the Lord Jesus Christ was born and he ascended into heaven there in the vision of John, that the woman who is a symbol of the church fled. The woman fled into the wilderness. She had given birth to the man-child, that's Jesus, and he was caught up into heaven and was therefore safe, though the dragon had tried to devour the man-child, yet he was caught up into heaven. He rules over the nations. And the woman afterwards fled into the wilderness. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And later on we read that she was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, but not just into the wilderness, fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. The church is nourished in the face of Satan, the enemies of God's people. Yes, indeed, God prepares a table for his people in the presence of their enemies, a table in the wilderness of this world fraught with dangers and scorpions and serpents spiritually, all symbolizing the opposition and the danger that God's people face in the wilderness. But notice in the wilderness that there is a place. And what is this place? Well, we considered recently that this place is for God's people and prepared of God. It is that invisible spiritual sanctuary of God. It's simply God himself as their hiding place and God's provision and protection of them. And the point is, it is God himself preparing this for them. They have a place of safety in the midst of their enemies, before the face of the serpent, before the enemies of the world and the flesh and the devil. God cares for his people, and he has ensured their supply as well as protection, so that the church is nourished. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. It's all prepared from eternity. God knew what dangers his people would endure, but he has ensured their protection and their supply. A place prepared of God that they should feed her there. They should feed her. Well, God raises up ministers to break open the bread of life for God's people, to preach the word, to set forth Christ before them, to comfort them in all their weariness and all the pain that they have endured, to comfort them and to give set forth the promises of salvation for them. The Lord is promising peace and strength to his people. He's giving them his word, giving them his promises, giving them the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, even in the wilderness. And it's all in front of the enemy. And the enemy may try to stop God's people. The enemy may threaten, make them frightened. But the enemy can't do anything about this. Thou preparest a table before me. God has provided the spiritual nourishment of his people. And Satan can't stop the Lord from giving to his people what they need. The shepherd will lead his people and provide for his people. Nothing can interfere with this. And Satan may rage, but God's people will be fed. And as one put it, they are forced to witness my enjoyment without being able to disturb it, because thou, God Almighty, prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. They just have to watch it happen, and they can't stop it happening. God provides. He gives his people grace and spiritual nourishment and growth in grace and strength for the journey ahead in the wilderness journey. It is prepared. It is literally set in order. Everything has been arranged. All things necessary to bring it about is put in place. God prepared his people Israel for the coming of Messiah, and they were prepared by the ceremonies and types, and God actually sent his son, Jesus, to be the Savior of sinners, to work out salvation, reconcile sinners to God by his death on the cross, and Jesus himself offered himself on the cross, a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. His body was broken, his blood was shed as an atonement for sin, to reconcile sinners to God. That's what atonement means, to bring them one, make them one with God, reconciled to God. All through his death, his sacrificial death as an atonement for sin, to reconcile sinners to God so that their sin is put away, God's wrath is turned away, and they are brought back into the enjoyment of the favor of God. That is what God has done. He has prepared this table because he sent his Son in great love, infinite love, to suffer and die for sinners, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the wonder of the gospel. And though this table is enjoyed by the Lord's people, and the Lord's Supper is only for the Lord's people, yet the provision of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, is offered to sinners as such. No matter who you are called upon to come to Jesus and feed upon the bread of life freely. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. You're called upon to partake. Don't put it from you. Don't say it's too good to be true or it's for somebody else and not me. It's for you. It's for you in the gospel. Receive Christ. Rest on him. And if you don't, you will be condemned to all eternity for putting it from you, for not partaking. You will be cast into hell for rejecting the bread of life. It's your duty to receive him. And you're invited to receive him. And come, for all things are now ready. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So, while we're on the subject of this table, let us think about the Lord's Supper for a moment. Before the universe, there is a table set before God's people, for them in the presence of their foes. And that is the Lord's table. That the Lord, in the first place, when it was first instituted, directed his disciples to make preparations for it. And he directed his disciples to prepare for this by actually going to a large upper room that was already furnished. And it was already prepared. And he says, there, make ready for us. So while we are to prepare for the Lord's Supper, and that's what a Saturday of the communion is for, we are preparing for the Lord's Supper. Let us be thankful that the Lord's table has already been prepared for them. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And we are to prepare ourselves by looking to the Lord for strength to go forward in our duty. But let us be thankful. Let us be thankful and not forget that that's where we start, knowing that it has all been prepared for us in the first place. The Lord Jesus himself did it. He himself instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. He appointed this ordinance for their spiritual help. He has appointed this for their spiritual benefit. It is not just, it's not a task for them to make sure they accomplish and sign off. No, it's a privilege. It's a spiritual benefit that he has provided for them. And he provided for them this ordinance of the Lord's Supper even when he was about to suffer and die. It was the night when he was being betrayed. The betrayal was in process. Judas was even then going to the priests in order to take steps necessary in order to betray Jesus to them, hand him over to them. And Jesus was about to be crucified. And in the face of all that he was going to go through, he nevertheless appoints this sacrament called the Lord's Supper for their spiritual good. What wonderful love is that? In great contrast to what man was going to do to Jesus, look what Jesus is doing for man, for sinners of mankind, for his people who are sinners and unworthy. Death was in front of him. What was in his view was all the cruelty of the cross and the suffering of the wrath of heaven. That was all before his face. But what he provides for his people in their view, in front of them, is a table with the bread and wine. When he says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. I have prepared this table for you. This provision is for you. This table is for your spiritual good. As you take this bread, it will be for your the bread itself is for your physical health. So my body, broken for you, is for your spiritual health. And those who come to the table believingly, looking beyond the elements of bread and wine, looking through the symbols of bread and wine to Jesus Christ and him crucified, they're looking through the symbols to Christ, and from Christ's body in heaven comes a life-giving power flowing to us from the glorified body of Jesus, a life-giving, life-sustaining power into our souls to uphold us, to nourish us, to revive us, to restore us. Yes, the Lord's Supper is not just a sign. It's not merely a symbol pointing us to Christ crucified. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a seal of the covenant of grace. It's a means of assuring us of the love of Jesus Christ to our souls. So we have the seal to confirm to us our interest in the blessings of salvation. The sacrament assures us, seals to us, that we receive the bread of life, that we are nourished by him, we are saved by him, and that he is our Lord, he is our shepherd. He's meeting all our needs, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. The Lord's Supper is an occasion of and means of spiritual nourishment to give us the strength that we need to go forward, to help us in our service to the Lord, in our endeavors to be an example to others in this world that we live in, when we are so few in number, when we're surrounded by people who ridicule our way of life and think nothing of our religion. The Lord's Supper is to strengthen us for all these different circumstances, to be a witness on the side of Christ, to be stronger in our witness and keeping the commandments of Jesus, as we read in Revelation, that our testimony would be clear in the world. The Lord provides us a table to nourish and strengthen us in front of our enemies. And may many of those enemies become our friends when they see, by the grace of God, our good works, our light shining before others. And so these others who are enemies become friends and give glory to our Father, which is in heaven. The Lord's Supper is for nourishment, spiritual nourishment, and growth in grace. By partaking of the sacrament, believers' graces are increased. Their love to God and man is increased. Their patience and service of the Lord is increased. Their progress is increased in the way of sanctification, growing in holiness, more vigorous in mortifying sin, killing sin, fighting the good fight of faith. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is for spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. And of course, it's by the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the working of his Spirit in them that by faith receive the sacraments. How we should pray that the Holy Spirit would quicken us, that the Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit would bless the sacrament, bless the ordinance, for these spiritual purposes, for that we might truly receive these spiritual benefits and enjoy them and profit from them. The Lord's Supper also, as you know, promotes communion with Christ and his people, and the Lord Jesus is revealing his love to us in the sacrament, communicating his grace and care to us, and in response to that, the Lord's people are showing their love to him and expressing their thankfulness to him. They are covenanting with God, and that is another purpose of the sacrament, that it increases our obligations or intensifies our obligations. We are further engaged to be the Lord's and engaged and set to do all the duties that we owe to the Lord. The sacrament increases and intensifies that obligation. We feel all the more bound to the Lord to serve him because when we come to the Lord's table. What he has done for us. See what he has provided for us. He's bread for our souls. How we should feel bound to him with loving, willing service to serve him with full devotion throughout all the days of our life. So see what the Lord has done for his people. See what he has provided. He is calling upon his people to come to this table that he has prepared for them. He's calling them to eat and drink, partake of the symbols of his body and blood. Satan may threaten you and tempt you to stay back, but Jesus is calling you to come forward. Satan may frighten you, and unbelief will perhaps echo what Satan says, but it's unbelief. We must put our finger on that. Satan and unbelief. But never mind what Satan says. God has prepared a table. And Satan cannot stop what God does. Let not unbelief in Satan deprive us of the blessing. Come to the table that God has provided. And the enemy will watch. The enemy will howl and rage. But to their eternal shame and misery and confusion, you will rejoice, partaking of the table that the Lord has prepared for you. Yes, it's a table prepared in the presence of mine enemies. But not only does the Lord give this provision for our needs, he also gives us joy to refresh us. Thou anointest my head with oil. And that brings us to the gladness that is in store for the Lord's people. Yes, God has sown light for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Thou anointest my head with oil. Anointing with oil was a sign in those days of welcome, a sign of honor, and a sign of joy. It's a symbol of joy. And, of course, those who are at a feast, they're usually joyful. And a feast is a time of celebration very often. And those who were anointed with oil were not anointed that we know of in times of sorrow, but in times of joy. They were anointed with oil when sorrow was over. As you remember, when David's child was dying, David was fasting. He was mourning. He wouldn't eat. But after the child died, well, David, we read, arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. And of course, that surprised his servants. They were thinking that if he is fasting and mourning when the child is still alive, how much more will he be sorrowful when the child is dead? But it was the very opposite. He rises up. He eats. He anoints himself. Of course, he knew that the child could not return to him, but he could return to the child. But the point is, it was after the mourning and after the fasting that he anointed himself. And so the Lord gives us the anointing of his Spirit in the way of liberty and joy. Jesus Christ himself is the anointed. That's what Christ means. Christ means the anointed one. And Christ was anointed to preach, to heal, and to save, and to give joy. And to give joy instead of sorrow. Think of that. The reason why Christ was anointed, the reason why he came, was to give, as he says in Isaiah 61, verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. He was appointed for that very reason, to give joy instead of sorrow, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So you're very heavy in sorrow through manifold temptations. But what has the Lord been appointed to do? Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, has been appointed to give you joy, to anoint your head with oil, so that you'll have joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. What joy is stored up for God's people. And the anointing, as I said, was a symbol of a real welcome. When the Lord Jesus came to Simon's house, Simon the Pharisee, Jesus took notice of the fact that Simon did not anoint Jesus. And that certainly was not an honor to Christ. There was no sign of a reception or a warm-hearted reception there. But the woman who was a sinner, she brought in ointment, anointed the feet of Jesus. And that was a sign of a real warm welcome on the part of the sinner. So the Lord Jesus is revealing there what the anointing is a symbol of, a sign of welcome. And the Lord Jesus is welcoming us at his table, and the pledge of that is the anointing oil of the Spirit. He is receiving us. He willingly welcomes his people at his table that he has provided for them. And the anointing was a sign of honor as well. And Simon didn't honor Jesus with the anointing. But the woman was certainly honoring Christ by anointing his feet. And so when the Lord anoints his people, he is honoring them. When he invites them to his table, this is an honor to them. And the anointing oil is a pledge of that. They are truly honored guests at the table of the Lord. And as one put it, what David is saying here is, "Thou treatest me like a well-accepted guest at the table which thou hast prepared for me." See the connection between the table and the anointing. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup," remember the cup is on the table too, "my cup runneth over." Here is a feast. I'm an honored guest at the feast, the table of the Lord, the Lord's table. And the Lord is honoring his people by inviting them to sit down at his table. And the oil, of course, is a very rich and fat substance. And if you look at it in the margin, the word for anointing is literally "make us fat." Oh, the fatness, the fullness of the riches of the grace of God when he provides for us this table, when he gives us the blessings of salvation, when he gives us the anointing of the Spirit. And so here he is satisfying his people with the bread of life and the rich provisions of his grace. He satisfies them as with marrow and fatness. Yes, he gives them grace. The anointing is a symbol of the Spirit giving his people grace. What grace they feel they need. Well, it's the grace by the Spirit, not only to strengthen them with the graces necessary to go on in the spiritual journey of long suffering and discipline and meekness, but also the other fruits of the Spirit as peace and joy. Oil is a soothing substance. It is a picture, a symbol of comfort and refreshing. When the Spirit comes upon a person, there is a sweet experience. Our souls are refreshed. As we read in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 12, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." The Lord invites his people to refreshing, to what is soothing to their souls. Oh, how we should pray that we would experience the soothing, comforting influences of the Holy Spirit. "Thou anointest my head with oil." And it's from Christ. Remember that Jesus, by dying on the cross, has secured the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he has the Spirit in him without measure. The fullness of the Spirit is in Christ, and we're to look to Christ for this gift that flows to us through the channel of the cross. He purchased the graces of the Spirit to give his people. He has secured the gift of the Spirit. So we must go to Jesus, who is the head of the church. And from the head flows the gift of the Spirit to the body, just as We read in Psalm 133 that the unity of the brethren is like oil flowing down. The unity of the brethren, of course, is by the power of the Spirit, peace by the Spirit. And this unity is as oil flowing down, like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. From the head to the body, the oil of grace flows. From Christ the head to the church, the body of Christ, the grace of the Spirit flows down to his people and to all the members of the body. And it's through Jesus Christ who was crucified. Thou anointest my head with oil. And what need we have of that anointing? We may be full of all kinds of troublesome thoughts in our heads, but what a mercy to go to Jesus and ask him to anoint our head with the oil of his Spirit and protect us from the evil thoughts that Satan may be tempting us with, that he would anoint our head with the oil of his Spirit and fill our minds with good thoughts, whatever is honest and of a good report, and whatsoever is lovely, and what is more lovely than Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would be filled with thoughts of Jesus Christ by the anointing of the Spirit. Thou anointest my head with oil. And we need this every day. And the Lord promises it to us. As we read in Psalm 92, verse 10, but my horn shalt thou be, they exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Perhaps it's been a long time since you felt that anointing, child of God. You felt that liberty of the Spirit so long ago, peace and comfort so long ago. But the Lord can anoint your head with fresh oil, give you fresh influences of the Holy Spirit, give you peace and joy restored. And that takes us to the last point, which is, my cup runneth over. The Lord provides, the Lord refreshes and delights us, but he also gives us more than enough. And that brings us to the abundance. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The cup is a symbol of one's portion, what has been allotted to someone so that the person can say, this is my lot in life, this is my share, this is what has been apportioned to me, appointed to me. And the wonderful thing is that the Lord is the portion of God's people, and that he has their cup. He has their assigned portion in his hand, which he gives to them. And it's a cup that is overflowing. And it's the Lord himself and his grace. The shepherd meets our needs. The shepherd himself is bread for our souls. He is the one who makes us supremely happy and satisfied. My cup runneth over. There is no end to the blessedness that the Lord gives us. And the more literally, the word is, my cup is filled to saturation. It satiates us. The Lord, speaking reverently, saturates us with his love and grace. He sheds abroad his love into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And so the Lord's people are honored guests at his table. They are satisfied by Christ at his table prepared for them. And the blessings of the provision are overflowing. And there's no end to them. He is saturating them with his goodness and his grace and his love. The riches of his grace are beyond our ability to comprehend. But you might be saying, but I don't always feel this. And we have to admit, we don't always feel that our needs are constantly met, or that our cup is running over. But we walk by faith not by sight. And we put this to you, if we felt that this joy and this overflowing continually, would we need to preach about it? Would we need to pray for it? Would we need to plead the promises that God will fulfill it to us? No, it's taken for granted that we don't always sense the overflowing benefits of the Lord in our souls, but these things are revealed to us and we accept it by faith, and we're to lay hold of it because it's the true word of God. Lay hold of the reality. There is an infinite store of joy awaiting us, and it's a vast supply that even now we draw upon. We might feel that it's a trickle of grace coming into our souls, but trace the trickle to the source, and it's inexhaustible. The riches of his grace and love. And all of this is in store for his people. The table laden with nourishing provision and dainties to satisfy, and the oil to honor us and liberate us, and the cup that saturates us with his love. That's all laid up for God's people. And how we should be thankful for that and pray for the enjoyment of it. If we got a glimpse of it, how we would be filled with hope. If we got a clear sight of the table that is in front of God's people, how they would go forward with joy and gladness, taking that cup, taking what God has assigned them, the cup that is full and overflowing. Oh, friends, the glass is not half empty. The glass is not half full. The cup is overflowing with benefits, with grace, and with love. And if we saw it, we would be able to say, it is enough. As Jacob said, it's enough. Joseph is alive. We would say, it's enough. God is abundant in his grace to me. Oh, what a sinner I have been. How unbelieving I have been. All these years, the Lord has been sustaining me, and I have failed to give him the glory, but I see it now, what he has assigned to me, the cup that is overflowing. Oh, this is what will sustain me the rest of my life. Goodness and mercy shall surely follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He gives me all that I need to serve him now and unto the end of life. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, spiritual things and temporal things, grace and courage and peace? He says, my peace I leave with you. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. All that we need is bound up in the shepherd who cares for the sheep. You might be saying, how can I come to the Lord's table when I feel so unprepared? Well, remember, the preparation begins with him. Just as Jesus directed the disciples, go into a large upper room, furnished and prepared. It's all prepared. And so we're to lay hold of that in the first place. And remember, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The preparations are from God. The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And so while we don't have all the preparation in our hearts that we would like, go to the Lord for the preparation to prepare you even at the moment of coming to the Lord's table. You say, I feel a multitude of cares. Things have come up this week that I didn't expect. Well, this is in God's providence. He has put it in your life. He has put it even in your cup, because it's all there, and every affliction is part of the expression of his love for your spiritual good. Your cup is overflowing with the goodness of God to you, and it's not just to make our life easy, but to help us spiritually. It's an overflowing cup. You say, I feel no joy. Satan has been distracting me. But remember the anointing oil of the Spirit. Remember that as he restoreth my soul, David says, he can restore also your joy. He has prepared this table. He anoints your head with oil. He has assigned your seat at the table, just as he has assigned your place in heaven. We're not yet in heaven. We're in the wilderness of this world. But there's a place for us even here. And he gives us the wings of eagles to fly to him, to enjoy the protection of that spiritual sanctuary that only God's people can see. It's in the presence of our enemies, but they don't see what we do. They may laugh and say, "What are you doing at this empty table?" They don't see a provision. But God's people, they see it. They see the broken body. They see the shed blood. And their appetite is increased, and their longing to be filled. And they know in their heart of hearts that except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And they go to Christ for life. They trust in his merits. They draw upon his fullness. They are looking to him and only him. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, may it please thee to bless to us thy word, that we would experience the power of thy truth in our hearts and the saving benefits that Christ purchased. Oh, that we would see how free salvation is, that we would come to him who is the bread of life, for that bread is given to us in the gospel, so that whatever our condition is now, we have something that will change us and make us truly brought into a relationship of friendship and reconciliation with thee, all in Christ. Thou art a God reconciled to us in Christ, and the gospel, we know, is for the chief of sinners, for Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The apostle says, "Of whom I am chief." O Lord, bless us and provide for us as thou art in the word and in the sacrament. O that we would lay hold of that blessing. Forgive our sins, for Jesus' sake only. Amen.